Welcome to the first IASB update podcast for 2021. It's set to be a busy year for the International Accounting Standards Board, and this podcast is one of the key ways that you can stay up to date on our work as the year progresses. My name is Claire Short, and I'm part of the communications team at the IFRS Foundation. Today, I'm joined by Sue Lloyd, Vice Chair of the IASB. A warm welcome to you, Sue. Today, we'll be looking at discussions that took place at the IASB meeting that was held virtually on the 26th of January, 2021. The topics discussed include subsidiaries that are SMEs, work plan updates, and maintenance and consistent application issues. But first, let's look at what the board heard on the primary financial statements project. Over to you, Sue.
Okay, so this is a project where there's a lot of interest from our stakeholders, and particularly from the investor community, which is nice to see. And if there's anyone out there who isn't aware of the topic, the objective of this project is to improve the way that information is communicated in the financial statements, and we're focusing particularly on the information in the income statement. So overall, we heard that our stakeholders have largely been supportive, and investors in particular have expressed strong agreement with the project objectives and with most of the specific proposals as well. So this month, we were looking at a few of the papers on the feedback, and in particular, we looked at a summary that included all of the feedback we got from investors, which confirmed that their support for the proposals overall, and particularly their support for having more structure and subtotals in the statement of profit or loss and a defined operating profit subtotal. We also looked at a quite extensive literature review where the staff had looked at academic papers and summarised evidence on topics that were relevant to the questions that were set out in the consultation paper. So that was really interesting and sort of confirmed the messages that we had heard, which was helpful. We also, last at that meeting this week, discussed a paper that the staff prepared, providing their thoughts on how we should plan the approach to the re-deliberations, what topics we should discuss first and what the content of the papers should be. And the board agreed with the staff's recommendations on how we do that. So if you're interested in this project, I'd really recommend that you look at that paper because it gives a really good overview and sort of roadmap of the next steps on the re-deliberations for the primary financial statements project.
And that paper will shortly be available on our website. So you can go to ifrs.org and go to the project page for primary financial statements and you'll find that paper there. The next topic that we discussed or that you discussed was the subsidiaries that are SMEs project, which is part of the board's bigger disclosure initiative. Can you fill us in on that discussion?
Yeah, so firstly, maybe it's useful to start reminding people what this project's about. So the objective of this project is to develop an IFRS standard, so within the suite of IFRS standards, but it would be a special standard which would permit some companies to apply the recognition and measurement requirements in IFRS standards, but with a reduced set of disclosure requirements. And the population that we've been discussing over the course of this project is subsidiaries that are SMEs. They're companies that need to provide information to their parents for inclusion in the parents' consolidated IFRS financial statements. So if you think about that sort of subsidiary, in their financial statements, they're an SME. So a reduced set of disclosures could be appropriate for its primary users. But because it needs to provide the information to support its parents' consolidated financial statements, it could be more cost efficient for that subsidiary to apply the recognition and measurement requirements of IFRS standards in its financial statements rather than using IFRS for SMEs that was designed for these small and medium-sized enterprises. So we've been talking about this project for a few years now, and at the January meeting, we took a number of decisions, and I'm going to highlight just a couple of the important ones. So we had a really important discussion about the scope of the project. So essentially, which entities would be eligible to elect to apply this reduced disclosure standard? And we decided at this meeting that the scope of the project should just focus on subsidiaries that are SMEs rather than being expanded to a broader range of companies. We also had a discussion about what the form of the consultation document should be that we put out for comment. And we decided that it should be an exposure draft rather than a discussion paper. We thought that this would be the most effective document for where we're at in this project, And in particular, what an exposure draft achieves is that it contains proposals that have a form that looks much more like what the ultimate standard would look like. So it's got the sort of drafting that looks like a standard. And so that really facilitates more focus from our respondents on exactly what the requirements would look like. And we thought we've got a good understanding of the sort of context for these proposals, but this exposure draft would really help us get some more specific feedback.
That's great, Sue. And now let's move on to something that's relatively new on the board meeting agendas, and that is an update on the board's work plan. Can you take us through some highlights there?
Sure. So every quarter, the board takes a sort of holistic look at its work plan to strategize and prioritize our standard setting activities. We look at the projects we've completed, the new things we've added to the work plan, and also the status of the ongoing projects. And in the overview this quarter, we took a look at really the last of these sort of ongoing projects and where we're at in terms of our milestones. And for some, we sort of confirmed that we're going to be issuing some final amendments soon. So just to flag those for people, we expect to issue final amendments for two of our projects next month. One is part of the disclosure initiative, accounting policies. So we're changing the requirements from disclosing significant accounting policies to disclosing information about material accounting policies. And also related to accounting policies, some amendments to IAS 8 about accounting policies and accounting estimates, introducing some changes to improve the distinction to help people identify what's a change in accounting policy and what's a change in accounting estimate. We've also got a significant number of projects at the moment in the drafting process, which is one of the reasons why we had such a short board meeting this time, because we're all busy reviewing documents at the moment. The technical staff are preparing some consultation documents ready for publication. So in March, we expect to publish two major consultation documents. The first is the exposure draft on targeted standards level review of disclosures, which I'll talk about a little bit later. And secondly, a request for information on our agenda consultation, which we do every 5 years. So we'll be putting out the request for information, really asking you all to give us some feedback on our strategic direction and balance of what we work on, how we should assess the priority of different financial reporting issues that could be added to the work plan, and also what reporting issues you think should be given priority in the work plan. So that's a really important consultation, so please do look out for that.
Thanks, Sue. Before we wrap up our look at what was discussed at the January board meeting, just a quick note to say that it also touched on maintenance and consistent application matters, specifically those that came up at the December meeting of the IFRS Interpretations Committee. Sue and technical staff member Petrina Buchanan discussed these in detail in the separate IFRIC podcast, available on our website, on our YouTube channel, on Spotify, and on your podcast player. Turning to other IASB-related news from the first month of 2021, the board also published a consultation document on its rate-regulated activities project. Sue, can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Sure. So the rate regulation document is a set of proposals that's really important to a small part of our population. So it's important for some particular industries. And it's those industries that are subject to rate regulation, which is common, for example, for utilities and public transport industries. And when we talk about rate regulation, we're talking about regulation that determines the amount that a company is allowed to charge its customers for goods or services supplied to them and when they're allowed to charge the amount. Now, the particular sort of challenge, if you like, that we're trying to address is the fact that in some cases, there's a disconnect between the period when a company supplies goods or services to its customers and when it's allowed to charge the customers for those goods or services. And that can give rise to timing differences. Let me give you an example because that's a very abstract description. Let's say I've got a utility and it incurred some significant costs this period that it were unexpected. They may be entitled to recover those costs in the rates that they charge to customers, but in future reporting periods. So that means at the moment, the expenses would be recognised in the current period, but the fact that there's a right to recover the expense in the future wouldn't be apparent in the IFRS financial statements. And so when these sorts of differences in timing occur, the income statement and the balance sheet don't really at the moment give a complete picture to investors of sort of performance of the entity and also sort of future cash flows. So the aim of the proposals is to introduce a requirement for companies that are subject to this type of rate regulation to give their investors additional information by reporting regulatory assets and regulatory liabilities in their balance sheet and the related regulatory income and regulatory expense in their income statement. So if I go back to my simple example, where they had, the utility had a big expense this period, the proposals would reflect the fact on the balance sheet that there is a right to recover from customers in the future that would be recognised as a regulatory asset, and there'd be a corresponding credit amount recognised in the income statement so that there's a more complete picture of the situation for the utility provided in the financial statements.
Thanks, Sue. That wraps up items from January, but there are 2 points to note looking ahead into February and March. In early February, the board will hold a supplementary meeting to discuss COVID-19 related rent concessions and subsequent amendments made to IFRS 16 leases. Keep an eye on ifrs.org for more details as they are published. Then on the 8th of February, the technical staff will be hosting 2 webinars. These are specifically aimed at academics, and the aim is to stimulate research into IFRS 15, revenue from contracts with customers. These are the last webinars in a series that also looked at IFRS 9 financial instruments and IFRS 16 leases. You can visit ifrs.org for more information. Then finally, in March, we'll be publishing quite a few consultation documents, including an exposure draft from the Targeted Standards Level Review of Disclosures project. Sue, can you take us through what the board is proposing and what type of feedback we're looking for?
Sure. So the name of this project doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, does it? But it's a project which is a core component of our Better Communication Initiative, which is the sort of overarching suite of projects where we're trying to improve the communication effectiveness, if you like, of a set of IFRS financial statements. And in this case, this project is our central response to the disclosure problem that a lot of people talk about in relation to financial statements. And when we talk about a disclosure problem, we're really talking about something multifaceted. It's not having enough relevant information in the financial statements, having too much irrelevant information, and sort of trying to make sure that information is communicated in an effective way. And what we're exploring here is how, by changing the way we express our disclosure requirements and our standards, we could be a catalyst for change by enabling other stakeholders in the system to more effectively play their part, and that sort of collectively we can work together to solve the disclosure problem. And the project really has 2 parts that would be reflected in this document, this exposure draft that we plan to put out in March. The first part is some work that we've been doing really internally, looking at how we approach coming up with the disclosure requirements in our standards. And we've come up with a proposed new approach to how we develop and draft disclosure requirements in the future, which we call in the document the draft guidance for the board. And there are a number of things in that guidance that are really designed to address this disclosure problem. The first is making sure that we engage with stakeholders, and particularly investors, earlier in the standard setting process so that we really get a good understanding of the information needs and how they're going to use information. The second is looking at developing detailed and specific disclosure objectives in our standards that explain why investors want particular information, what they'll do with it, in order really to give context to the requirements for preparers and regulators to think about when deciding what needs to be disclosed. And thirdly, to sort of support that, using language in the standards that would emphasize the need to really apply judgment. And this means that preparers would be required to comply with a disclosure objective rather than looking at a list of disclosure requirements and really using them like a checklist. Now, this draft guidance represents a potentially significant change to the way that we approach setting disclosure requirements. And what we've done in the second part of the project, also within this exposure draft, is to test how applying that guidance would look by looking at 2 existing standards where there are disclosure challenges today. IFRS 13, Fair Value Measurement, and IAS 19 that looks at employee benefits. And the exposure draft sets out proposed new disclosure requirements for these two standards using the guidelines and based on these conversations with investors. So the exposure draft's a little bit of an unusual document for us. It will really be looking for views on both parts of this project. And I think the board overall, we're quite excited by this. It's a pilot approach, but if we get this right, we think this could really be a game changer for improving the effectiveness of disclosures provided in financial statements for investors. It would affect how companies prepare disclosures and how others, such as auditors and regulators, assess compliance using these more specific objective-based disclosure requirements. So we really need your help to make sure we get this right. Have we got the draft guidance right? Do you think the approach is going to help stakeholders apply judgment more effectively? Are the proposed detailed objectives in the test standards specific enough to be operational, enforceable, and to deliver useful information? And if not, what should we do instead? So really, please do get involved. This is a really important consultation, and encourage your friends to join in as well.
Thanks, Sue. And a reminder to our listeners that exposure draft will be coming out in March. That brings us to the end of another episode of the IASB Update podcast. Thank you, Sue, for joining me, and thank you to our listeners for tuning in. For detailed information on any of the topics that we've discussed, please visit the relevant project pages on ifrs.org. You will also find all past episodes of this and our other past podcasts on ifrs.org, as well as on our YouTube channel, Spotify, or your podcast player. If you have any comments or suggestions for the podcast itself, please email me on communications@ifrs.org. Until next time, goodbye.